Please be seated. I thought it'd be a great idea if we could get some locust and wild honey flavored cookies to sell on behalf on this Sunday. Wouldn't that be a neat trick? Maybe not. Maybe it's just me. Let us pray. Gracious God, be with us, keep us, hold us, help us to know your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, over the years, I'm not sure I have fielded any question more than this one. Pastor, why did God allow this to happen? It's an honest question. A question undoubtedly born from sleepless nights, from tragedy, from the reality of our human brokenness. Pastor, why did God allow this to happen? Whenever I encounter this question, or whenever I have asked it myself, there is a realization that this is less a question to be answered than a cry for help. A cry for some semblance of understanding in an unimaginable circumstance. A professor of mine in seminary, Dr. Tony Everett, cautioned us while in seminary and in our ministry, cautioned us against this question, why did God allow this to happen? For this precise reason. It is, in reality, an unanswerable question, because any answer that anyone gives paints God as either aloof or cruel. And neither effectively characterize who we understand our God in Christ to be. And so in its place, Dr. Everett calls us to ask instead, where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this when my world has been shaken to its core? Where is God in all of this when unfortunate and unforeseen events cripple us? Where is God in all of this when securities we once felt were bedrock have become shifting sand? Where is God in all of this when we feel numb, when we are afraid, when we are on the verge of losing all hope? You know, the breadth of such possible events that can sneak up and absolutely crash our worldview is staggering. The reality is that somewhere, to someone, every day such an event occurs. I can say that I've never had a week in my ministry go by where I was not aware of at least one such event in the life of another. A life-shattering event that changes their whole world. I'm sure that you could most probably say the same. For Isaiah is true. Our world is a broken world. It is a fragile world. We are, like he says, grass that are blown away and blown around by the events that surround us. We are never too far removed nor too insulated from the reality of this brokenness and its oppressive reach into our lives. Indeed, where is God in all of this? Well, Isaiah fielded such a question from the Hebrew people, for they were in the midst of great oppression. The early years of the 6th century, the Hebrew people had their worldview shattered completely. They were taken into exile, removed from their homes and taken into exile by the Babylonian Empire. And many have called this the second most prominent event in the history of the Hebrew people. What could have been the first? Well, you know, it was the Exodus. It was the Exodus from slavery in Egypt to freedom. It was that experience that became the foundation of a new relationship between the Hebrew people and Yahweh. A relationship on the giving of the Ten Commandments, calling them to purpose, calling them to be His people in the world. And each time that God calls upon the Hebrew people to live into this relationship, He always reminded them of bringing them through the Exodus, bringing them out of slavery into the promised land. And the Hebrews then live and begin living into this new freedom. The freedom of this promise and this covenant. God had saved them. God had heard their cries. And they go on to build a nation and live in this new land for over 500 years. They had a capital. They had trade. They had a temple. They had lives. And their lives became pretty fat and happy. And so, as you can easily imagine, I am sure, they began to center their lives less and less around the God who had saved them, and more grounded their lives in other securities. The securities of wealth, of prosperity, and of affluence. Indeed, we can identify with this, can't we? But then something happened. Something unimaginable. Although there were no shortage of prophets in their midst who gave them warnings. Babylon, this great and mighty power from the outside, swoops in with their mighty army. They destroy the temple and completely shatter people's lives by separating families and by bringing people into exile. And the people asked, where is God in all of this? And Isaiah gives them an answer. Now, at first, it wasn't one that they wanted to hear. For the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, he rails against the people, reminding them of their sin, telling them that because of their unfaithfulness and their sin, that they ceased to wholly be God's people and that this calamity was brought upon them. You know, sometimes the last thing that any of us want to hear is how our poor decisions, how our skewed priorities, how our false securities have helped to cause our own demise. But in such times, we indeed do need to hear that. And all we can do is repent. Now, if Isaiah's answer to this question, where is God in all of this? If the only answer any of us ever got in the midst of our own questions of where is God in all of this, is that the only answer we ever got was the one that pointed to our sin and to our brokenness, then friends, the Word of God would have no more value than the words of Dr. Phil. Indeed, tough love is important. It's necessary and vital in our own religious heritage, and Christian faith does indeed lift up receiving tough love as we grapple with our sin and failure. But friends, tough love, for it to ultimately work, it must be grounded in compassion and grace. And graciously and thankfully and powerfully, Isaiah is. For you see, Isaiah, as we hear today, offers another word. A word beyond our sinfulness. A word beyond our brokenness. Isaiah offers a word of compassion and grace. A word that makes the ultimate difference, not only for the Hebrew people, but also for you and me. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. This is God's answer to our question, where is God in all of this? Where is God amidst our struggles and pains and hurts? Ours is the God who says, I will feed my flock like a shepherd and gather my lambs into my arms and carry them in my bosom. I am the God who has not forgotten them. I am the God who has not forsaken them. I am the God who is still their God. I am the God who you experience in receiving forgiveness. I am the God whom you experience in receiving absolution and redemption for the sin. I am the God who promises to bring you home. And indeed, we know the story, don't we? Isaiah says these words to the Hebrews while they are in exile, and they hold on to them, and then indeed they return. They return home. They return to the promise of the God who will not abandon them. The God who will not abandon you. No long after Isaiah spoke such words, another man came who used other words of Isaiah to describe himself. The words, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. You know of who I speak, don't you? John. John the Baptist. He came and spoke a comforting, challenging, yet ultimately compassionate word as well. He spoke of the God who was coming near. And isn't that what we all need and want in the midst of our struggles and pains? When we ask, where is God in all of this? All we desperately want to hear and all we desperately need is to know that He is right here. Holding us, perhaps. Pushing us forward, perhaps. Holding us back, perhaps. Maybe just holding us arm in arm as we walk through the valley. In the storms of our lives. That's the word that John spoke. That is the voice in the wilderness. That God has come near. And indeed, that message, that word, is now ours. It is one given to us, but is also one that we are called to live into and share ourselves. For in the wilderness of our world, where the question, where is God in all of this, is often wondered, friends, you are now called to be voices in the wilderness. To those in the wilderness of a broken relationship, or the wilderness of illness, or the wilderness of monotony, or the wilderness of natural disaster, or the wilderness of a loved one's death, friends, you are now the voice of the promise of God's nearness. You are the voices in the wilderness because you have heard the word already. You are the voices in the wilderness because you have felt God's comfort. Because you have experienced God's healing. Because you, friends, know God's forgiveness. You are the voices in the wilderness. Because someone needs to prepare the way. You are the voices in the wilderness. Because you know where God is in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.